Our scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, the first one. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, they form, as it were, the introduction to the whole book of Psalms. Taken together, 1 and 2, they help us to understand that whole book of Psalms. Blessed are those who take refuge in God. And this afternoon, then, we focus on Psalm 1. The message of the preaching is the righteous man of God walks in God's way. He stands at God's streams and sits in God's assembly. So let us read Psalm 1. The psalm is also then the text for the preaching this afternoon. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Just the word of God, and may he bless it to us and also guide us this afternoon further in the preaching of his word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Scripture, our God makes a definite declaration about a man who walks in his way, who walks on God's way. That man is a man after God's heart. He is a chosen child of God. He walks in holiness and righteousness. This man that walks on God's way is contrasted with another. A man who enjoys his life just for himself. That man therefore goes his own way. He enjoys the pleasures of the world. And the psalm says that he belongs to the sinners, to the wicked ones. Well, who will prosper? Let us listen to the voice of the Lord as it comes to us through Psalm 1. God's word encourages here and comforts us, also instructs and admonishes us on the way to everlasting joy and prosperity. And so the message is, the righteous man of God walks in God's way, stands at God's streams, and in the third place sits in the assembly of God. Beloved, the word blessed is used in God's word for acclaiming someone for his faithful walk. Blessed then means receiving the favors of God. When we like to know the meaning of words, it's a good thing to do so when you look at its opposite. So the question is, what is the opposite of blessed? In Deuteronomy 7:27 of Scriptures, that passage shows that the opposite of blessing is curse. Blessing brings life and prosperity, but the curse makes life evaporate, makes it to shrivel up into nothing. From the context of Scripture, then, we know that God's blessing is not given to man on grounds of man's own strength or merit. Neither is God's blessing given at random. No, the blessing is granted to people. It is granted to us by God's free grace and favor. Now, what actually does God's favor or kindness do? Well, God's kindness makes someone righteous. And a righteous one takes different actions than others do. Because the righteous is governed by the mind of Christ. Unlike the ungodly, someone called also sinners, unlike them, the righteous doesn't follow his own opinions. The psalm refers to that when it speaks about the counsel of the wicked. And that counsel of the wicked is, so to speak, you can say, the public opinion or the dictates of our modern culture on how one must live, work, and especially enjoy his life. An example of this is, in our time, one doesn't have to get married. He doesn't have to get married anymore. You can just live together. That's easy, for if you don't love each other anymore, you can go to and live with another. You see, one doesn't bother anymore about God's holy law. He or she follows the way of his own feelings. It's all over the place nowadays. Now, elsewhere, the Bible identifies the ungodly way as the broad way. That is the easy one. The majority of people move on that way. Read Matthew 7. And the broad way is very busy. And at the end of it is a gate, wide and high. It seems to give access to something of great fun and fulfilling. However, nothing is farther from the truth, as if the broad way would lead man to a great life and triumph. For it doesn't do that at all. Because behind that Broadway gate, life suddenly gets narrowed down to nothing else but empty darkness. And the sad thing is, beloved, that the people on the Broadway don't believe that their lifestyle brings them into a place where Scripture calls hell. In fact, though they often take that word hell on their lips as an outburst expressing dislike, you can hear it everywhere. Despite that, the ungodly Broadway people don't like to hear that hell will spoil their pleasures. How would the righteous man live among such ungodly people? How would you and could you live among people who look at you as you're a dull person, a negative one? Well, the righteous man would be much stressed indeed, since the ungodly would not stop trying to hand him or her at their side. But they look down on you as a killjoy or a spoil sport. Yet, in Psalm 1, God talks about the righteous as a blessed one, as a blessed man. The one who perseveres in not following the counsel of the wicked, not going on the way of sinners, not keeping company with mockers. He, in Scripture, he is called blessed. Now, that characterization of what the righteous does not do should not be taken as if the man of Psalm 1 would totally withdraw from ungodly people. The actual situation of Psalm 1 is that a righteous man lives among such people and keeps living among such people. Every day he is confronted with their ideas, lifestyle, and scorn. You must consider that the righteous man of Psalm 1 does not live in a heathen country. He even lives among God's people and in the land of God's promise. We have to do with Old Testament Psalms of God's people. And the man of Psalm 1 lives in the midst of them. So the poet, so to speak, has experienced that not all of Israel are Israel. And to mind comes in someone like Naboth. Read 1 Kings 21. Naboth. His child, this righteous man, experienced the evil pull and opposition from his own people. They know of God, but they don't live a righteous life. On the contrary, they think that people like Naboth lives a too narrow-minded life. And narrow-minded people say no, no to everything. To a lot of things anyway. However, beloved, nothing is farther from the truth. It's true. A believer says, a righteous man, righteous people, believing people, they don't say no. They continue to say no to ungodliness. He does not want to compromise his faith. He is aware that he lives in a sinful world. But he is not of the world. But mind you, he does not say no, 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 no to everything. First and foremost, he says yes all the time. Yes to the way of the Lord. Loving the Lord is the positive feeling of his life. He says yes to God. The righteous one says yes to his way, his will. Actually, he prays every day about that. That he may keep that will faithfully. In verse 2, we read about this as follows, that the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. He says yes to the law of God. He cherishes God's word and commandments. And his life is characterized by worship the only living God of heaven and earth. And so he says yes to come to church and to a lot of other things. Yes. Beloved, remind each other as righteous people to be involved in the activities which are pleasing to God. Show your delight in God's law and word. And therefore indeed say yes to Bible study. Have God's kingdom and his righteousness as treasure. And yes, show that your rich resource of help and strength and encouragement, comfort, say yes to the gospel of salvation. Your hope and joy is in your covenant God. And every day then you rely on him for all that you need. Especially daily protection, nourishment, spiritually and physically. Above all, you show that your joy is to lead a thankful life for God's mercy, His grace, His kindness to you. In brief, if in your life you show to be righteous man, as it is also pictured in Psalm 1, your desire is to show the image of the righteous man. And you know who that is, the righteous man. Does your Savior, Jesus Christ, say yes to the Son of God, Christ Jesus? Say yes that He is your Lord. In the company of mockers, He, Jesus Christ, in the company of sinners and mockers and wicked people, He did not join their sneers. And the ungodly poured out all their evil on Him. Their bullying approach made Him shedding a flood of tears. Even His disciples disappointed Him. He suffered evil and wickedness all alone. Now when we follow Him in obedience to God and His righteousness, we will experience something similar. We are not higher as our Master. He was rejected. So also, we will be rejected by many, by wicked. But we will not be rejected by God. Beloved, in Scripture, the way of the righteousness is mapped out as the narrow way. And it leads to a small gate, giving access to the glorious life with the Lord in God's everlasting kingdom. And at the end of that way, our Heavenly Father welcomes the righteous into that kingdom. And thus, the righteous is blessed. The righteous is innumerable, well off. Not only at the end of the way, He is also blessed along the way. He flourishes at God's streams, Psalm says. So we have come to our second consideration. Yes, it seems to appear that in this life the ungodly are better off than the righteous ones. Especially when you are younger, and the youth of the church, you can feel that. That those who walk on the broad way, the worldly people, they seem to be able to getting much more out of life than church people do, than the righteous does. The ungodly sinners are in the majority. And they can do more things, since we need to spend time and money for the Lord and His church, His kingdom. The Sundays are not for our own pleasures, but for the praises of the Lord. The Lord of the Sunday. With us it can look like the poet of Psalm 73 felt. The wicked seem to have more prosperity. They can do what they like. And the poet of Psalm 73 envied them. You feel that as well? Do you feel that sometimes, maybe as well, being envious of the people in the world, of the world? But don't do that. They, as we already have indicated, they are losers. But the righteous one is a keeper. Scripture shows in Psalm 1 that the righteous man is better off than the ungodly. The psalm likens the righteous to a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And here the word used that means that a tree is firmly planted. No heavy winds that would rage around a tree would be able to uproot it. And the tree is full of leaves and fruit. It is a green and a vigorous tree. Beloved, in Scripture, a tree and its fruit are used to point to strong faith, to fruits of faith. And so another psalm comes to mind, Psalm 92. In that psalm, the righteous man is portrayed as having great vigor. He even keeps his strength when growing old, because he remains fresh and green in the strength and the wisdom of God. No, we don't have to guess what the water stands for here in Psalm 1. It's, of course, the water stands for God's Word. God's Word flowing into the life of the righteous, as we have prayed for, as we're also this afternoon that happened. The Word nourishes the righteous with living water. And the righteous does not have any lack therefore whatsoever. Even by letting go of a lot of enjoyments of the world. And whatever he does, he prospers. He experiences that God abides with him. The Lord abides with him even when life gets tough. O people of the Lord, let's think again of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the prince of the world, and you know that's the devil, Matthew 4 you read it, and then the devil offered him the whole world. All the goodies in Matthew 4 when you read it, all the worldly goodies were placed at his feet. Yet, the Lord Jesus' clear answer, you know that was, to the devil, he said, "No, thank you. Look, our mediator firmly stood his ground like a tree planted at God's streams." What was the source of his strength? Well, again, it was the pure word of his Father. Not the way how the devil used his words as excuses. Or it's a temptation, making the word sound what it did not really want to say. The pure word of his Father was Christ's strength. And through his obedience, he acquired the fullness of God's life and glory for us, his people. And through the righteous one, all the heavenly treasures, gifts, and riches of God are now ours. You see it? It's all about true faith, obedience, faithfulness to the Father in heaven. And standing then at God's streams, living with God's Word daily, weekly, monthly, from Sunday to Sunday towards the glorious day of the Son of God, doing the will of God. We as God's children are enriched by God's abundant blessings. And that blessing, first and foremost, is received here in Christ's church. Here you are firmly standing, and you get strong roots by God's river, streams of water. So, beloved, be here as often as you can, and encourage your fellow believers to do the same. And then you also will see God pleasing fruit in your life. Great actions of love, fellowship with God and with one another. By such spiritual activities, we can recognize each other as righteous ones. And so, beloved, rejoice to stand at God's streams as you do now. Do so in true love. Encourage your fellow members to do so. Say yes. Say yes. To saturate yourself with the Word of God. Say yes. Yes. to abandon the pattern of this world. You might know that Romans 12, Scripture says there, on the basis of Christ's salvation work, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your life. That is your spiritual act of worship. And then continues the text, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, His perfect will. The righteous will see, the righteous one will prosper. We've come now to our last consideration. Never forget that the book of Psalms, with this first psalm, wants to impress upon us that believers, as righteous ones, they are the richest people in the world. For, you know, believers, they are heirs with Christ. Christ obtained everything from His Father, His kingdom. So with Him, we inherit everything what is God's, the Lord. Remember, when the devil said that he would give Jesus the whole world, then the devil was bragging. If Jesus would have listened to the devil, to Satan, then Christ would have lost everything. The devil was and is still bragging today, for he is the liar of the beginning. What does Scripture say about the righteous Son of God? It clearly proclaims Him to be the way, the truth, and the life. And Christ Jesus is not bragging. He is blessing God's children, you and me. As we heard this morning, death will have no destructive power nor grip on us as righteous. In the psalm, the life of the wicked ones won't last. The psalm says, they resemble chaff. Now, what's chaff? What's chaff? Chaff has no use whatsoever. At harvest time, on the prairies, many combines are in the field. Now, have you ever seen a farmer running behind a harvester to catch all the dusty chaff? No. A cloud of dust, the farmer just lets it go for what it is. It doesn't have any value for him to keep. What is the value? What is value valuable for a farmer? Well, it's that the grain in the bin is valuable to him. Well, so are the righteous gathered by God as His harvest, as His grain in the bin of His combine. So is the harvest that God gets from His righteous on this earth, the field of this earth. Here in church, so to speak, you are sitting in the bin of God's harvester. And God's harvest then gives you a safe place here within the communion of saints. Here God's gracious face shines upon us. Every Sunday you are sent into the world again with that blessing that God's gracious face shines upon you. He will give you peace. Therefore, look forward to the Sundays. Then separate yourself. Then say no to the world, but say yes to the Lord and to the church and church services, joining the communion of saints. Let this be your joy on the day of the Lord, that you be in the assembly of the righteous, as it were already beginning of the grain in God's harvester. There you receive a haven of rest, peace and glory. Here you are, so to speak with Psalm 121, here you are under intensive care, for the Lord watches over his people and he gives you peace. And don't forget your heavenly prospect. After having walked on the narrow way, and so you go through that only small narrow gate, you will go through the gates of God. And you go into the city of salvation, a glorious city as revealed in the book of Revelation. So what a prosperous life with a glorious prospect we, you all, have of God's righteous people walking on his way. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we have learned Christ at the streams of water. And we rejoice in being his redeemed people, that we belong and that we are the grain in your harvester. And so, indeed, as he says in Revelation 22, blessed are those who wash their robes, those who are righteous, doing the will of God, that they may have, and so we may have, the right to the tree of life. Amen.